Hello, everyone, and welcome to season 4 of Crave Arts Presents The Future of Film, featuring intimate interviews with the best emerging filmmakers from around the world. My name is Tom Oliva, and I am co-founder and executive director of Crave Arts and the All-American High School Film Festival, dedicated to discovering, showcasing, and uniting the next generation of visual storytellers and content creators. In October of 2022, we celebrated our 10th annual festival. 10 years in, and our community is thriving, a testament to the power of believing in the arts and the emerging artists that share their stories with us. The collective spirit of our organization, our community, and all of our year-round initiatives is rooted in a shared passion, a passion to breathe life into stories, to collaborate with others who share your vision, and to create content at the highest level. Content with the ability to move viewers emotionally, to inspire with unprecedented style and craft, and to impact real change. Some quick updates from the All-American Bulletin Board as we gear up for our 11th annual festival in New York City. The festival will take place this October, and submissions are open via Film Freeway to the final deadline on July 3rd. Anyone in high school, anyone who made a film in high school, is eligible to submit, even graduating seniors. Head over to hsfilmfest.com to get the latest news and updates about the 2023 festival, including our 2022 highlight reel, our downloadable 2023 budget guide, and planning guides and posters, because it's never too early to begin planning your All-American adventure. A friendly reminder that we are offering a new custom category this year, your chance to make an original music video for one of 4 songs by AWOL Records artist MXM Tune. More information at hsfilmfest.com/custom-categories. And if you plan on attending the fest in New York City, we highly recommend competing in our film invitational competitions, the world's premier on-site student filmmaking competitions in New York City. Your chance to do a real-world production experience for student filmmakers and video production programs. You can crew up and produce a short film in just 10 weeks. Registration opens in May. All right. Sometimes, you know, a submission comes in and we know right away that it will be a legit contender. Such was the case in 2019 when we received a dark comedy with a ton of heart from today's guests, Braden Swope and Ethan Hammack. Their film, The World Within Vincent, truly represents the best of student filmmaking. A tour de force redemption tale, equal parts immersive storytelling and sophisticated production skill. It's no surprise that their film was a huge hit with our judges, earning nominations for Best Overall Film and Best Comedy, and winning Best Direction and a $100,000 scholarship to Point Park University. The instantly engaging story centers on Vincent, a lisping, action figure-obsessed, middle-aged employee of a dysfunctional and depressing hen manufacturing company, as he struggles to overcome the demeaning bullying of his ego-fueled, power-tripping boss. Vincent yearns for confidence, repeatedly escaping reality into heightened fantasy dream sequences where he embodies a bold hero, confronting and defeating his boss with his weapon of choice, a pencil. In the altered reality of his empowered imagination, the viewer experiences operatic climaxes of emotion, buoyed by our affection for Vincent's tragic flaws and humble, humiliating existence. We ride the waves of Vincent's divergent worlds with hearts full of hope, watching wearily as he unsuccessfully pursues a sympathetic female coworker and befriends his Chinese food delivery boy. Each secondary character simultaneously bolstering and breaking his will in turn. This is a drab, unforgiving, and isolated existence. But despite the overwhelming dehumanization of his boss, with lines like, "Vincent, you are worthless," we sense a spark ready to ignite into flame, a world within bursting with potential. By the time we reach the dramatic final monologue that sets the world both within and beyond Vincent straight, we are fully committed to his quest in a unique and fulfilling measure. Of course, none of this highly entertaining storytelling would resonate fully if it wasn't complemented by skillful execution of the elements of film. The considerable heart of the story is elevated by its malleable tone, which anchors the characters' considerably disparate emotional realms. Navigating the complexity of Vincent's journey flows seamlessly in the hands of Braden and Ethan. Dramatic framing, appealing angles, crisp cuts, VFX, and sound design all working in harmony to amplify the savvy comedic timing and larger empathy emerging from the thematic core. Perhaps the best part of the whole darn thing is the keen sense of just how much fun these guys had dreaming up this world and bringing it to life. You simply can't create like this without loving what you do with an unrelenting passion. I am thrilled to be joined by Braden Swope and Ethan Hammock today. Hey, Braden, Ethan,
Hello. How are you guys?
Good, we're ready. I can't believe what was just written about our movie. All that copy you just said, that's like better than the movie as a whole.
I try my best. Cool. You know, you provide the inspiration. I just put the words down on a computer screen.
That's so cool.
My pleasure to give the film its due respect. We're going to get the conversation going, but first we're going to do a little segment we call Personal Portrait. In this quick reply exercise, I'll ask a question or say a word, and you just say the first honest thing that comes to mind. Sounds good?
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
Let's get deep.
First up, Ethan, do you fold your pizza slice when eating it?
Absolutely not.
Definitive no. Okay, all right, Braden.
I do. I actually do. I can't stand the texture of that gooey cheese. I got to get that, the fold going on.
I'm probably 50-50 on it. Yeah. I try really hard not to because I know it's just not going to be as tasty,
It's more tasty. Come on. It's all about the texture.
When I found that question on interview questions or icebreaker questions, list, I was like, I got to go with this one.
And that's great.
Well, at least it's the fork and knife thing. We don't mess with that.
That's egregious.
I have a friend who eats his chicken wings with a fork and knife, and it's just like,
chicken wings?
How can you?
Like, that's awesome.
Awesome.
Next up, Braden, would you go to the mothership with aliens if they landed on Earth?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's an opportunity to discover. Maybe if for nothing else other than for movie inspiration,
Okay. Ethan, are you joining the ship?
No question. There's not one ounce of me. I want to go explore space and universe and
take a camera.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. Ethan, does your car have a name? And if so, what is it?
I don't know. I call a lot of my technologies the beast because I want to soup everything up. So my computer is the beast. My car is the beast. They're machines.
Good answer.
Yes, that's her name.
Good answer. Braden?
Yes. In our household, we always name. My Lexus is a Lexi. It's a very old Lexus, but it's Lexi.
Very cool.
Very creative name.
I can see you driving that. I have a Mini Cooper whose name is Simone. So.
Oh, that's cute.
That's adorable.
It's in the manual when you open it up. It's you have to name your Mini Cooper.
What?
It's a woman. She's a woman. Yeah. And her name is Simone.
Yeah, our names are usually really not creative, Lexi, or we had a red car. The name was Red.
Red. Yeah.
Very creative.
Okay. I think I already know the answer to this based on the 2 minutes we've been talking, but Braden, how would you rate your laugh out of 10?
My laugh? I don't know how to rate my own laugh.
It's a 10.
I guess I'll give it a 10 just for pure joy. I don't know. I really like to laugh, so.
Great. Well, I hope that we have plenty of laughs.
Such a funny question.
During this next hour.
Yes, Ethan, we definitely will.
Are you also a 10?
Yes, I'm confident in my laugh. I know it's contagious and I can prove it.
That's great.
Yeah.
I hope everyone that's listening at home has a huge smile on their face, maybe a little belly laugh going. Okay, we'll switch gears here.
Table that.
Braden, film school.
Yeah, that's the conversation, isn't it? Yeah, is there a question there or should I just go for it?
what's the first thing that comes to mind when I say film school?
The first thing that comes to mind is the fact that I did not go to film school. We went in high school, Ethan and I, in a lot of ways, that was our first film school. It was the film school. And a lot of the people that studied with us at this high school film, which was such a blessing to study, you know, so early, a lot of them went on to study film in college, and I did not. I sort of found my own way, carved my own path by making my first feature film right out of high school. So that's kind of initially what comes to mind. I'm sure we can dive in a little bit
we
more.
We are definitely going to, yeah, we're going to dive into that. Ethan, how about you, film school?
What comes to mind.
Yeah, no, agreeable with Braden. High school was absolutely foundational. I went to Columbia College Chicago after high school for 4 years. Half of that was spent at home due to COVID. But still, like, when I think about film school, I do think about our high school experience, because we learned so much in that time that I've built so much of off of, and I don't think I would be where I am right now without everything we learned in that time. Because Brayden and I, like, we learned that we loved directing and we loved editing in high school rather than college. So
right.
By the time we had exited high school, we already knew that. So I'm very grateful that we had that experience. And I think we just got in really early. So was amazing.
You're very lucky, and that's not the case for everyone. But I also know that you know, we work with a lot of colleges as part of the festival, and they're eager to recruit our community. And they're all grappling with basically what you both just described. You know, even right. lesser schools, perhaps, than the high school you were fortunate enough to go to, are providing skills and training and exposure to things that colleges used to provide. And so now it's like, well, then what do we do, right? and there's some amazing models out there for what they are doing. Ethan, networking.
Networking is huge. That's number one. Luckily, both Brayden and I are nice people and we love people. I know I'm an introvert, so sometimes networking is hard. But I think it's really necessary. And even if it's just like making friends with people who also like movies or just talking about movies, and making sure your interests are known to people. And a huge thing that we can absolutely talk about later is finding your niche and then selling that to people. My niche is trailer editing. That's been the love of my life forever and ever. So when I network, I can sell myself off of that. And people remember those things, the little things. So that's just like number one thing I think for networking is knowing what you love and your specific interest.
Braden, how would you describe your style as a storyteller in just a few words?
Just a few words. Oh gosh. I would say simple, but about an underdog. I think that's sort of what we... Because I write with my brother a lot. He and I grew up making movies forever and ever. And the thing we landed on, you know, as we started to actually make movies was underdog. And I think that that comes through in the movie that we're kind of here for today, which is The World Within Vincent. And I have reflected about this a lot with him, with my brother, and with Ethan, too. Just the story of an underdog just really kind of gets to us. And it's almost this thing of like, it's what we want to see out of our own lives, you know?
Right.
It's such a powerful narrative in the sense of we just want to kind of free these characters that we create from the bonds of the anxieties and the depressions that we kind of face in life. So as a storyteller, like if there's one other word that I'll use, it's just, you know, if there's no other word, I mean, it's underdog. That's the story I want to share with people.
I love that. Braden, again, what's your favorite place in the world?
Favorite place in the world. Honestly, like I've only been there twice, but and maybe this is a little biased here now, or maybe it's three times. But New York City, like I've really, really fallen in love with New York City. I've been there so infrequently, but like every time I go, it's like this adventure, you know. And I'm so used to, you know, LA and traffic and driving and not really walking around. And when I get to New York City, it's like it's so walkable, and I love walkable communities. So when I get there, it's almost kind of like it's such a playground to explore. And gosh, it was so fun to go in 2019 for this festival. It was such an adventure for the group of us.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, New York City is great as long as you don't have to pay the rent, right?
Exactly. Like, I could just kind of hover above and visit when I want to.
Ethan, do you have a favorite place?
Yeah, no. The number one thing that always comes to mind is Yosemite, California. I love the mountains and I love forests. And I just have a lot of happy memories associated with Yosemite. And it's always like the journey to get to Yosemite, because I live in Southern California and Yosemite is like almost central. So it's always the road trip aspect to get there and then getting there. And it's just like otherworldly. It's a whole other place. So yeah. It's very inspiring.
We couldn't have two more polar opposites and both provide adventure. That's great. Okay. And last thing, All-American High School Film Festival, whoever wants to go first. You kind of already gave us a nice shout out. Yeah, thank you.
I did. Ethan, you want to take that one since I sort of touched on it?
Sure. No, and I definitely also want to hit on New York City as like a beast of its own self. Like the festival experience is so made up by that city. And I think it's so reflective of that city. New York is such a place where people like from everywhere have come together historically. And so that festival really feels like that. Like, I know Brayden will attest to this, like some of the best moments of the festival were meeting people from places we have never been, tiny, small towns, and seeing people inspired by our work. There's like a very specific memory Brayden and I talk about all the time of somebody from a small town in the country. And he's like, he was younger than us. And he just said how inspired he was by our movie. And like, just to be able to give those moments and to receive those moments and tell other people that we're inspired by them, like that made the festival. So just to me, the festival was like meeting all these kids from different parts of the world, not just the US, but just like soaking in that. So that was just an amazing experience.
Because we were at the sort of the tail end of our film journey in high school when we had gone. We were just graduating seniors at that time. So it's totally true what he's saying. Like, we got to meet a little bit people who were sort of maybe at the beginning of their journey. And it was like, oh, my gosh, we saw ourselves in that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I absolutely love it. And I'm incredibly proud that we could provide that opportunity for you. So it's wonderful to connect with both of you today. I just want to start with, where are you currently? I think we already know you're in Southern California to some degree. Yep. And what are you up to right now as it relates to film?
Yeah, so I'm here in Southern California. I'm like literally right in the middle of my release of my first feature film. Just like, I'm in the thick of it right now in between social posts and stuff. So Ethan and I, like I said before, with our graduating class of our film high school, we made a feature film right out of high school, and it's taken so long. It's so crazy because we literally went to the All-American High School Film Festival after I shot the movie. Like, that's how long ago it was in 2019, and we're just now releasing it. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and I'm in Silver Lake, California, for context. And I'm currently working at Motion, which is a marketing agency where they edit huge like trailers, like all the big Marvel things. And I'm an assistant editor there. So obviously I have pursuits of eventually becoming an editor. So I'm hot on the tails of that. I want nothing more than that.
Well, you're already doing it and you're getting paid. I mean, so kudos to that. That always helps. So let's dive a little bit deeper into both of those things. So Brayden, why does it take 3+ years to finalize a feature and what are your goals for this project? I assume you guys worked on this together?
We did, yeah. Okay. He did sound design and he helped a ton on set. And he was kind of like any role I needed him to do, he would fill in for, because he and I have been so collaborative for years. It takes a long time to make a short film and it takes a ridiculous amount of time to make a feature. And it's crazy because the answer that I have for you is like, it's because of post-production and release. That's what takes so long. I was just thinking last night, I was like, I think in total for pre-production and shooting, I think we spent maybe 10 months on the project. like 10 months. And then the rest of those 4 years was post-production, marketing, and release. Like, it takes so much effort to get a feature film out there because feature films actually have homes. Short films don't really have homes. They can go to festivals. They can go on YouTube, which is awesome. And they can go to festivals. And that's the best part for a short film. But features, they kind of, you're expected to find a home for them. And it takes so long to kind of find the right home, figure out if it's going to, you know, release on VOD or in theaters. And we were lucky enough to release on VOD as well as a few theaters. And we actually have a little bit more news coming up on release that I can't share yet. But so, yeah, it's just like post-production takes so freaking long, which I'd love to like talk as much about post today as we can, because Ethan and I are just post-minded individuals. I'll label us.
Well, I'd like to talk about that too. But first, let's go to Ethan and tell me what it's like working as an assistant editor for a company like Motion.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's the dream, truly. Like, I'm so happy working there every single day. We work on Avid, so that's been a huge learning curve. I think Brayden and I's generation, a lot of us were brought up on Premiere because it's the most accessible. But Avid still is the industry standard in a lot of places, and it has its pros and its cons. And so that was probably like the number one learning curve. And I'm happy to say that I'm comfortable in Avid now. Most
yes.
It feels like another language, but I feel like I'm fluent in it. So that's amazing. But yeah, just you learn so much as an assistant editor, technically. And you also, in a place like Motion, my experience has been, I've been surrounded by some of the most talented creative individuals that I didn't even know existed. Like in high school, I watched these trailers and over and over and over again. And then suddenly like I'm working with those people and I didn't know their names, but now I do. And like, I'm asking them for like an Avid bin lock and like, oh my gosh, I'm like talking to this person that I watched their stuff over and over again. So that's just been really, really inspiring. And I'm just so happy to be there.
What's the coolest thing you've worked on while there?
Oh my gosh. So many things.
Everything.
I mean, obviously NDA, but like, there's like, I can't say a lot, but like all the big Marvel stuff is really fun because we see the entire process, from start to finish, and we get to see how like Marvel movies are such a huge thing, but we get to see like every little bit and piece of how that comes together and how stuff like that's marketed. So that's
so there, awesome. If you can't say it's totally fine, I respect your NDA. but there's a couple of, I think, well, there's a big Marvel movie that's coming out very soon. Is it possible that you had a hand in the trailer we see when we're at the AMC theaters watching another film?
Definitely. Yeah. The golden brick road. Like that's us. I got to see like all the versions for that and see that come together. And that's one of my favorite trailers ever now. Ant-Man, for those people who don't know.
Yeah. Cause I just saw the trailer for that. I forget what I was seeing, probably Avatar or something. And very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. And I just want to say too, like shout out to Motion. I hope other companies do this, but Motion does a mentorship program inside the company. So all the assistant editors get paired up with an editor. And you're with that editor for 3 months and we get to work on like a ton of projects inside the company. And like really like edit with actual films and be paired up with, again, the most talented people that I know. So like the reason I'm saying this is that the guy who edited the first Ant-Man trailer was my mentor when I first started at Motion. So I got to learn directly from like somebody so talented. His name is Chris Hammer. He's amazing. So that was just incredible.
One more question about it for all of the aspiring young editors listening to the show. How did you get the job?
Yeah, so I think a lot of that is attributed to my Columbia College Chicago experience. At the end of Columbia College Chicago, for me, I did the semester in LA program where they ship whoever wants to do it to Los Angeles and you get holed up in Park La Brea, which is a massive apartment complex. And a part of that program is getting an internship somewhere. So it's your responsibility to seek out the internship and get it. So I knew like I'm going to get a trailer industry internship, there's no way I'm not going to do that. So I called up every single post trailer house in Los Angeles begging for an internship. Eventually Motion is the one that let me do it. And I made myself known that I wanted to get hired after that internship. There's no way that wasn't going to happen. So I said that often. And luckily they loved me and they knew that I wanted to do this forever. So they gave me that opportunity and I'm very grateful for it.
That's great perspective. And I'm so glad that you guys are on after our switch to video podcasting, because the sheer joy that is being expressed on your face really says it all. And, you know, for someone who invests so much in emerging creators, knowing that you've kind of come full circle and that you're living your dream makes the investment absolutely worthwhile. So cool. Very cool. If you're only listening to this podcast via audio, definitely check out the video to witness Ethan's joy. Braden, back to post-production. And there's so much I want to talk about, so we're going to have to keep things moving. But, you know, you said you have a willingness to share the process, and it's a long process. Like, what's the first thing you do when the film is in the can? You know, what, like, where do you start?
Like, when you're done shooting?
Yeah. When you begin this post-production epic.
I think, like, honestly, I'll say, like, you got to start before that. Like, you got to kind of understand where you're at while shooting. And I cut my own work. Like, I always cut my own work. And especially, like, with Vincent, Ethan and I both cut it. But you have to think about where this edit is going, like, every second you're shooting. Because post-production, it's not like I'll say, oh, it's, like, the most important part. It's the only part of filmmaking that, like, truly, truly deserves attention. What I mean to say is, like, you really got to focus on post, because if you're shooting and you don't understand, like, where this is going, what you're shooting for, I don't know. It's so hard to get things going if you don't understand what editing does, because, like, I'm not even exaggerating. If post doesn't go anywhere, the movie doesn't go anywhere, because then it doesn't get finished. And so Ethan and I have always been so adamant that you just have to understand how things cut together, what clicks, because I think you end up as a director shooting, and I can attest to this, shooting way too much, and then you get to the edit. With the case of our feature film, our first cut ran at 2 hours and 41 minutes, and, like, that's long. Like, that's like a Christopher Nolan movie, and we were supposed to have, like, a short, you know, a 90 minutes first feature type situation. Eventually we got it down by, like, 50 minutes or so, 50. But then it was like, that's 8 production days that we didn't put in the film. That's 8 production days that we paid for. Right. And obviously you're going to have stuff that you cut that you don't realize until later. But I think as directors and as storytellers, being concise is the absolute most important thing before you even get to a computer. Learning how to, you know, shoot for the edit, I think, is so important. And then, yeah, when you get into, you know, your premiere, your Avid, you know, your final cut, whatever, I think being organized is the, like, the practical thing that I would recommend. Is, like, I'm, like, really obsessed with, like, spreadsheets. So I use, like, a ton of spreadsheets to organize exactly where my footage is. I use it for progress too. Like, I use sort of, like, you know, color coding to make sure I know exactly where a scene is at. And then slowly over time, you're able to kind of see your movie come to life via the spreadsheet. And it's almost like gamifying your own work, where you get a little reward, you get a little dopamine hit every time you finish something, because boom, it turns bright neon green in a spreadsheet. So that's my practical recommendation for once you get your footage into the edit.
Smart advice. Talk to me a little bit about the other piece of post that you mentioned, the marketing piece, and how you work to eventually actually share this thing with the world.
Yeah, so it was all like a learning experience is the thing. And the reason that I recommend for people that, like, making a feature film is an alternative to film school, or maybe just something you do after film school, as you're figuring yourself out, you know, in your mid-20s. Because you learn everything, and you learn things that you literally cannot learn anywhere else, because
and
you have to
do it, right? Or you don't succeed.
You have to, or you don't succeed. And, like, you don't even expect to is the other thing. It's like, I was, like, putting together, like, a all the marketing materials, then the deliverables for our amazing sales agents, MPX, things I just like, I didn't know we had to do, you know, like figuring out what, you know, how our closed captions need to be, putting together a press kit. There's just so many things that I just like didn't do for in the short film world that you just have to kind of learn by diving into the process. And that's emblematic of the entire process where it was like, you know, every single time something came up that was hard, once it was done, I knew how to do that thing. And I think that, I mean, that's just kind of a testament to, you know, our human experience basically. But for marketing specifically, yeah, there was just so much that I didn't understand that I sort of came to learn by, via doing. Trailer editing is another thing too.
Yeah, but that's really empowering. I mean, I certainly experienced that when I started the film festival and even to this day, right? I mean, there is no handbook for this stuff. And I talk about it with other people who do similar things all the time. It's you have to learn on the fly. You have to adapt. And just the sheer amount of new skills that I've learned since starting this, you know, obviously you kind of fall back on your natural talents and hopefully, you know, those help you be successful. But, you know, just navigating the space has been so empowering. And it's like, I'm almost fearless now in other aspects of my life because I'm like, I can do this. Like I can do anything. It's not always going to be pretty. And I'm going to, you know, make missteps along the way. But in the end, because I'm passionate about it, I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to make it work. And I now have that approach to like everything, honestly, even parenting, you know, like, no, like
that's so cool.
Nothing is, you can't be overcome, you know, if you have the will.
We had to have that lesson in mind with every step because sometimes it would be like, oh, here's this thing that we literally don't know how to do. Two options, stopping the film or figuring it out. And every time, obviously, because we're standing here today, we chose to figure it out. And so it's so true what you say. It's like, you just got to go for it.
Yep. Are you able to share the name and a log line?
Of Human Resources?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the name then.
It's so my first feature is Human Resources. It's about a guy who gets a job at a hardware store and figures out that things are not quite what they seem.
Ooh. And screwdrivers and hammers and...
Exactly.
Okay. All right. very cool. And when do you think we can expect to maybe be able to see this thing?
Oh, you can watch it right now. It's on VOD, and it's actually just finishing its theater run today, so won't get to that one. But yeah, it's on, by the time this podcast comes out, I'm not sure when it'll come out. It might be on the next piece of news that we're about to share. But for now, it's like you can rent it or buy it on Amazon or, you know, DirecTV or YouTube or Google, Apple TV, all the things. Search Human Resources 2023, and there it shall be.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on that. And Ethan, obviously, congratulations on your progress with your goals as well. It's incredibly exciting to know how quickly, I know it seems like a long journey, but I mean, geez, it's happened quickly. And just your, both of you, the approach, the insight you've already provided in, you know, just a few minutes here today. Invaluable, I hope, to the listeners. So let's go back. Sort of film school for Ethan, you know, a little bit, and it certainly led to good things. But it sounds like this high school experience that you had was really special. And an experience that isn't afforded to most emerging filmmakers. Even if their school has a good program, it's not like the ones that are available where you grew up. What was the name of your high school? And just tell me a little bit about what made the experience at your high school so special.
Ethan, you want to start?
Sure. So Braden and I went to the Orange County School of the Arts, which is in Santa Ana, California. They have a little portion of it that's middle school, but that's optional. But most of it is high school. So we were there from 9th grade to 12th grade. And the way that OSHA is set up is that it's conservatory based. And so it's an art school with so many different arts, like any art you can think of, even like culinary. Like musical theater, acting, every type of music ever, that kind of thing, and film. So Ray and I obviously had a film focus. And a part of our OSHA experience is that you do your general education from 9 a.m. to, I think it was 1:30. That was so long ago.
No. You got it, though.
And then like 2:15, I think I remember, 5 o'clock. you do your conservatory every single
month. And I imagine you get to like, you can't wait to get to 215, I imagine.
Yeah, that's like more fun.
You're re-energized.
So from 2 to like 5, every day, Monday through Thursday, except for Friday, you do conservatory. So you're doing film like most every day of the week. So we are just like immersed in it. And there's like a plethora of classes that you take. There's not a lot, you can't really choose. But that's a part of it, is that Brayden and I know we love directing and editing because we are forced into doing stuff we don't like.
Right.
In like an awesome way. And then we obviously took classes for things that we did like. But that was just a huge part of the experience, is that just trying without having to pay a lot of money. That's why I say it was foundational, because by the time we exited high school and I went to college, I know for me, I already knew that what I wanted to do, directing and editing specifically, more so post-production. But I got to go into college knowing I wanted to edit. So I didn't need to spend that time trying and failing at things and doing better at things on a more expensive dime. I got to do that in high school. So that's why I'm saying it's so valuable. And I hope and wish that more high schools are made like that, because Brayden and I are here today because of everything that we've learned in high school, 100%.
Style. And you have these valuable skills that you can immediately apply to your career choice, which is really the way education should be, and certainly something that we're advocating for. You know, that's part of our mission, is to change education, and not just in this particular discipline, right? Across disciplines, real world experience in these things, and the trial and error that you're talking about, and how crucial that is, as opposed to just listening to somebody talk. And just, you know, you're just supposed to be a vessel, and all that memorization is going to eventually make you successful. Right. And I fight so hard for that, because I believe in it so much. So few people learn from that model. And some people really do great. And actually, I'm one of those people. I love sitting in a classroom and listening to a lecture and I can take a lot from it. But that just isn't, you know, how it typically works. Is this high school, you both came from different places, this is where you met?
It is. It's crazy. Destiny. I think like this year will mark, maybe it's at the beginning of next, but like almost a decade of knowing Ethan, which is crazy. I've known him longer than I know my girlfriend of 7 years. So which is crazy. But yeah, we met, Ethan was from here too. And we just sort of, things sparked and we fell in love in the film world. I just wanted to just real quick build on what Ethan was saying about the school real fast. I think what's so great that he said is that like you find your niche quickly, but also you find your niche young. And like that's so, so important, because when you're like forming yourself as a person, and I think this applies to like specifically film, the hardest part of film is like the critique process, I would say. Like, especially in the indie film world, it was so hard to get feedback and apply that and be humble. And by the time, you know, you get to college, you're, you know, 18 or whatever, you're going to be a lot less impressionable and a lot less vulnerable as a person to learn and to like soak in feedback. And we learned very early on that, you know, it's good to challenge your own work. You mm-hmm. almost like get to learn this lesson of humility very early. And I think I find that like, if you're only starting the like idea of that process when you're turning 17 or 18, sometimes you can miss out on kind of that early brain formation of like not being too defensive and, you know, working with people to really challenge your own work. So not to derail your question, but I just had to add that.
You guys are like practical advice wizards. I mean, this is really good stuff.
And I'm getting too preachy.
My next question was going to, it's definitely not coming across preachy to me. It's coming across, you know, very, you know, real. My next question was going to be, and I think you just answered it, but maybe you have something to add. For the educators that are listening, you know, who are listening to, you know, the different things that helped you be successful and helped you continue on your path, which I think is the goal, right, for an educator. The students in their class love to do this thing and they want to help them be successful. Is there something that stood out from the school, an assignment, a class, an approach that you would recommend to educators who are working in a video production classroom in a school that is just building? And maybe it's just that. Maybe it's just provide lots of feedback. You know, let your students know how important that is to look at your work through someone else's lens. Because you get so invested in your project that you don't even see it the way others do anymore. Is there something else you would like to add to that? Ethan, you look like you're like...
I definitely have an answer. I'm sure you're saying the same thing or maybe saying another thing because we did have several opportunities.
Examples. Lots of good stuff.
But definitely number one, and Braden will agree, is like our movie Janitor First Blood, which is referenced in The World Within Vincent, that janitor character. There's a whole movie about that character that we made before The World Within Vincent. And we made that in our sophomore year. In that class, I think was it Film Prod 2, Braden? Was that the specific name? That class was so pinnacle for Braden and I because of this simple fact that our teacher, his name is John Hall, he encouraged us to go like balls to the wall, like try and fail. Like, go full in on something and encourage us to make whatever we wanted, knowing that like we were sophomores in high school and it wasn't going to be perfect, but we had the freedom to like completely bomb in areas. Like, I know Braden and I had to direct like a group of zombie extras and like, I didn't direct, but Braden directed, but we were there together. But we had to like control that. And like, that's an example of just like, we didn't know how to do that, but we were given the opportunity to like mess up there. And then we took what we learned, everything from that film, and we applied it to everything else we made. So just the summation of what I'm trying to say is that like, encourage failure in a way.
Yeah. I was going to say exact same thing. I mean, it's almost like, especially if we're talking specifically like video production, like as an educator, like get your students doing something literally like the first or second week and then do it again and do it again and then put it in front of people. Like, I think that's exactly what Ethan's saying is like, Ethan and I had an idea. Maybe it wasn't the greatest and maybe we didn't direct it in the best way, but we almost were like taught to like fall in love with our own ideas. And we loved this janitor idea so much and we weren't really held back too much. And then by the time it was done, we put it on display in front of the class and it was almost like, okay, let's talk about it. So I think all that to say is like, have your students shoot. Like, you have to shoot. You can't sit around talking about film. You just cannot. I mean, you can at some point, I think, if you have a reference point for stuff you've shot, but if you go out there and you let kids shoot, they have something to offer. They absolutely, Ethan and I had that to offer and we were so proud of it. And we learned so much of it, but it was only through kind of putting it into the atmosphere of vulnerability and having to learn about it that we actually could learn from it.
I love that. I love that. Let's take a big step back and discuss how you even both ended up at this high school pursuing a film conservatory. Braden, when did you first start making movies and why?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned it briefly, but me and my brother Evan, he and I wouldn't say we always were making like movies, but we were using a camera and we would literally like set the thing up on the shelf and like we would do movie parodies is what we would do is we would set it up and we would do skits and we would just because we loved watching movies so much. And what ended up happening over the course of the next, you know, 10 years or whatever until I found OSHA, the acronym for our high school, was we were so in love with watching movies as kids that we were like, hold on, we're doing this stuff with the skits. We're doing all this camera stuff. Why can't we do that? And so we just started doing more and we started doing like full film parodies and setting up the camera in places. And oh my gosh, it's so painful and hard to watch the stuff I'm talking about because it's literally like the camera's shaking and you can't see anything and it falls off the wall. We broke we broke the camera many times.
And you think you're then, so cool, but you're so not.
Yeah, exactly.
I can picture it.
And we're
it,
like,
yes.
This is everything. We would sit our family down to watch it. And they're like, my mom would literally be like, I love watching your work, but it literally gives me a headache because your camera is shaking so badly. But anyways, all that to say, like, then it started to, you know, become a thing we did. And we would mm-hmm. always bring the camera out. And then we discovered YouTube, which was such a foreign, you know, novel concept to us at the time. Like, oh, we can put our work and other people can watch it. That's really cool. I want to pursue that. Because like we went to a really small school, like private school, and everyone knew the channel that we would upload stuff to. And so we were like the most micro of micro celebrities that we could ever be. But we loved that feeling. And that's kind of where I fell in love with marketing. And then, you know, I started to do more YouTube. I would shoot like the promos for the school and stuff. And honestly, the thing is like I never saw film as my life. Like if my kindergarten teacher was like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I wouldn't have been like filmmaker. I want to be Stanley Kubrick. It would have been like, you know, some random answer. But that's why I use OSHA as the capstone story, because that's in freshman year when I applied. That's when I started to fall in love with film, when other people got involved, not just
very
me.
Cool. Yeah. And you work harder as once you start realizing that there's eyeballs on your work. Exactly. I can see that as part of it too. How about you, Ethan?
I mean, like, I've always loved film deeply. And specifically, like, I would say that trailers have, like, always been my love. My go-to thing is always that the trailer for Prometheus. Like, I had the idea of film before the trailer for Prometheus came out, and then that was the inciting incident for me to take action. So that came out in, like, 2011, I think, or 2012. And I'm like, wow, I love this. And I want to do that. Like, I don't know, like I was 11 years old. So I was thinking illogically, but I didn't know how to take action and actually do it. But then I thought about it after watching it a million times. And I just knew that like, I wanted to chase that. And I think I'm still chasing that. Like, truly, I know that's like a cheesy thing to say, but like, I want to make stuff that my 11-year-old self like watched over and over and over and over again.
That is not cheesy. That is like the sweetest thing, most endearing thing. Like, you're hired. If I'm motion, I'm like, I can't get this kid working for me fast enough. You're not a kid anymore, but you're that spirit is what you want, right? I mean, you're still that 11-year-old, and that's amazing. You just warmed my heart, and honestly, in like a really special way. Very, very cool. Great origin stories. so much more to discuss. So I'm going to keep things moving. Yeah. All of this that we've talked about, and we haven't even circled back to your highly entertaining and award-winning comedy, The World Within Vincent, which I described as a film that when you're watching it, you can just tell your love for it. And I've also had the pleasure of watching your extremely delayed but extremely delightful recap of your 2019 festival experience, which we just released on social media, which is like honestly better than any highlight reel we could produce. You just like encapsulate the entire spirit of what it means to attend something that I work every day really hard on. And it's like, wow, this is amazing. This actually is what it's like. You showed me what the attendee experience can be like. The World Within Vincent, what inspired this film? Obviously the underdog theme, but beyond that.
Ethan, me?
I'm trying to think. One huge thing is that like Braden and I really wanted to make something together as like the last huge thing. And so there's so many ideas thrown around for this movie. Just for context too, at the end of your OSHA experience, you make a senior project and you take everything you've ever learned in your entire life and you throw it at the wall for a very low budget.
right.
Like this movie is probably made for maybe like $500, $600.
You made the most of it. And I think, you know, for folks who are listening, obviously this will probably be the first thing they want to go see to get an idea of your first big project or whatever. Look, I'll be honest. You can tell there isn't a big budget. And yet, I would certainly watch it and think, well, there was some budget. And if not, man, you guys did everything you could with nothing. So sorry to interrupt.
No, you're all good. I think that's a huge part of it is that Braden and I like really wanted to try as much as possible because this was also like, this was going to be our calling card to take out of high school. Like we wanted to make this our thing. And so there's so many ideas Braden and I threw around. We we knew that we wanted to do something fantastical, but also very real and very like grounded. So we like literally just split the middle of that and we did both. Like we didn't compromise and chose one. We did both of them. And so
I
go ahead, Brad.
I was just going to say, I think it's so interesting because the way Ethan and I write, and we've only written, you know, a handful of scripts together, to be honest, but Ethan and I, like our friendship is almost like based on writing and like based on imagining other scenarios. Like literally we will get caught up like till like 1 a.m. like just like role playing a script or something like by accident, just because we make so many jokes. And so Vincent was the exact same thing. Like Ethan and I, we had this encounter with this dude in our personal lives, and we thought he was funny and goofy, and his name was Vincent. And we were like, what if there's this crazy movie where this guy we just met is like a action hero, crazy thing. Let's turn him into a hero. And we had this insane idea for like a kung fu movie where like he was going to be riding horses. And so I think what's so interesting, I actually have like a point with this. Like I have advice for this, is that like, if you're struggling with ways to write, like literally just look at your own world and pull something from that. Because it's not necessarily, in fact, sometimes it doesn't go anywhere with the original idea, because we didn't keep any of that. It is literally nothing to do with the guy we met.
Yeah, but
at the
it
end
was
of the
part
day.
Of the process to exactly. get where you ended up.
It got us writing. It got us in front of our writing software, and it got us typing. And there wasn't any huge inspiration we had based on any films. I mean, the film is very similar to The Secret Life of Walter Mitty or something like Sucker Punch by Zack Snyder. Where people fall into fantasies and they see the other world. So that was kind of the tone inspiration. But as far as the writing and the character inspiration, it's just from some guy we met.
Yeah.
You mess up this order again, you're finished. Got that, Junior?
No.
Excuse me?
I'm glad that you met him and that the world now has the world within Vincent.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about producing the film and the role that your collaboration played in its creation? I mean, you've already kind of touched on that, but, you know, you work together to write this script. It's based on a real person who you then expand in your own creative universe. When it gets down to the nitty gritty and, you know, you're working on pre-production and then shooting, you know, what was that process like? You know, how for someone who's, I guess my point is here, for someone who's listening, who's like, wow, they watch this film and they're like, wow, that's like a legit production effort for a high school student, right? This is, I said, it's like the real exemplary level of high school student filmmaking. What's it like when you're like in the moment? How do you make it real?
I think like just to add on the thing about writing is like you have to put every idea you have in front of yourself and be like, how much of this can we do? I think a problem with a lot of the advice in the film world is that people say, just shoot what you can, just do what you can with the locations you have. It's a good piece of advice, to be honest, but at the same time, it's like, well, but then how are you letting your writer brain run? And you're not. And I find this every time I write a script, because I'm like, well, I don't know if we can write this scene because we don't have the budget for it and I don't have the location. And then it's like, okay, then I'm just programming something. I'm not writing. I'm not feeling it out. All that to say, I think when we got to pre-production, we had these huge, big ideas for, you know, kung fu action sequences. I remember we were telling people, we were like, we're going to throw a guy out of a window. We're going to use a green screen studio and shoot a whole fight scene. And it's naive, but it's like endearing, because it's like we were trying. And by the time we got to pre-production, we had something to go off.
But those things, okay, so maybe you couldn't do those specific things to heighten
the intent
of
it.
But the idea is still in the film. And what you did is you used very purposeful lighting that you had access to. You added some special, you know, visual effects that made a difference. You utilized sound design to amp up the mood. You know, and those things from a critical perspective, watching it, they're obvious. But when you're watching the film the first time, or even just as, you know, if you're just watching it for entertainment, you're not thinking, oh, this could be bigger. You're just, you care about the character and want him to defeat his obstacle. And so you're in it. And I think that's, again, you're vice machines, beasts. I'll use Ethan's word.
Yes, the beast.
It's really, really useful advice for folks trying to sort of achieve at this level. So I guess my next question is, how have you changed as creators since making The World Within Vincent? If you have, how have you grown?
My goodness.
I know, it's been a long journey.
I mean, I would say, honestly, like, of course that I would hope and I would agree with myself, but then say that we are better. I know that
well, that's good.
I can watch that movie back and be like, oh my gosh, like, how did we mess up the audio here? Like, I wish we pushed it further, even though we know that we couldn't. I think that Braid and I are both like equipped now to make things that are even better. And like we want to push the envelope as far as we can. And we know that in like 10 years from now, we'll be like, oh man, like I wish we did something better than this, you know? So we're always punting it forward. And we want to make something that is like better than us. And so I don't know.
I think that's
not like a change, because I feel like that's what we were trying to do with The World Within Vincent, is like do that. And we knew that we would make mistakes. So I guess.
And if you didn't push yourselves then, if you didn't push yourselves then you wouldn't be where you are now to push yourselves now. And I think that's a huge takeaway from this conversation for me, is that, you know, the lessons you learned in high school about being forced to go for it and then learning from failure is what has gotten you to this point. And that lesson will always be part of you. And look, that's what all the great directors and writers say. You know, I hear that all the time. I never feel finished with a project, right? At some point, you have to just say, this is all we can do with this right now. Sure, I could spend my life making this movie. But, you know, the reality is different. Braden, how about you?
I have a bit of a strange answer, because it's like, I feel like back when we made that movie, senior year of high school, and then leading into my process of deciding to make a feature film so young, I was so incredibly like naive, but like in the best way that like my naivete would cause me to like do stupid things. And the stupid things were like deciding to do a feature film at 19. Like that's a crazy thing to decide to do. And I feel like now I wouldn't make that decision. Like I'm a lot more patient and like I sort of take things as they come now. Whereas back then it was like, I felt like I was a matchbox. And like if accidentally a fire went off, I would just explode into ideas. And I think that's why I advocate for doing stuff so young, because sometimes that ego surprisingly can actually get you places. Mm-hmm. But I feel like now I'm just like, what was I doing? Like what? Like I can't believe we were going to OSHA and working from 9 to 5 p.m. on, you know, academics and film. And like, it's exhausting for a kid to do. But I think in that way, it like just allowed us to unlock things that like we would never do now, you know, coming out of the pandemic and, you know, coming out of post-college life and being this age. It's a big transition period. And back then it was a lot more flammable.
Yeah. And, you know, you're reminding me of a phrase that I've grown to hate, which is fake it till you make it. You're taking that phrase and taking the best parts out of it. And and I think that's why you guys are, you know, successful and still pursuing your passion today, because you weren't faking it. You were going for it. And that's, you can't go for it without being all in and doing just the best you can. And then taking that and using it as a rung in the ladder to go one step higher. It's not, I don't like fake it till you make it. Cause
no,
I wasn't faking it when I was building this festival, even though I had no idea how to do it. I was pouring myself into it to make it. Right. And, you know, I don't think I'll ever feel like I've made it, but I'm proud of the process. Right. And I'm proud of the steps of the journey that have helped get, you know, us get better each time. And you guys are such a great example of that.
Totally agree.
Next question. What is your favorite thing about filmmaking? I think for Ethan, I think everyone, it's making trailers. But maybe that's, you know, oversimplifying it. Is if there's something else, I'd love to know what's your favorite thing about this world of filmmaking?
Ethan, you want to go?
Sure. I mean, you'd be correct. It's trailers. Like, yeah. Like, I saw a movie. I forget what it was called, but it was about, like, happiness. It might have just been called Happiness. But they talk about a thing called flow state, where flow state is, like, you find something that you spend a lot of time with and say, like, you do something for, like, 5 hours and you're just so happy doing it. And you enter like a flow state where you lose track of time and you're just simply like in love with it. So I feel that with editing trailers. In high school, I started a channel called Coda Prime where I did like fan trailers. So I learned a lot from that, but
they're so good.
Thank you.
So good.
Thank you, Raiden. I'm just saying that because like, that gives me like a flow state. That's what I felt like as a kid in high school, and I still do that stuff today. But that's just my favorite part because it's almost like a high. Like I just like get so immersed in that for a period of time, and it just makes me so happy and like I'm obsessed with it, and I can't wait to get paid money to enter that flow state. Like
yeah,
like I'll do that.
I love it. That's why we love post so much, Ethan, because flow state is so much more accessible in post because you're in like an air conditioned room in front of a computer. I just had to add that. Like it's flow state is such a great word for
it.
I love that phrase.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brayden, anything to add? Your favorite piece of this whole filmmaking journey?
Yeah. Growing up, I was never a writer. My brother was a writer. And when we wrote Vincent, it was really my first time sitting down to write a script, honestly. And that's where I fell in love with writing. Writing is forever going to be, like, I think it's the most important part of film besides post. I find them to be very similar, actually. I find editing and writing to be very similar. I think they're the hardest things about film, but they are the most flow state, you know, flammable, whatever the phrase is. Because you're really digging deep and you're really having to ask questions about why does this work? Where is it coming from? And also it's meant a lot to me because I've been able to write scripts with my brother. And it's almost become like just part of my life. Like we meet once a week to write at the library for an hour or two. And it just feels, it's so fun. Like it's the most adrenaline I feel. It's the most flow state I feel when I'm creating characters and things are working.
Very, very cool. What's the hardest part?
All the same stuff.
Yeah, exactly. If you care about something, it's really hard, right? Yeah.
Like, that's why I say writing and editing are so similar because they're equally as devastating. Because it's the same thing where, like, if we have a good writing session, I'll come out of it, like, best day ever. And if we're having one that's just really not working, it gets to me because it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not working. Like my ideas, my brain is not working. And that's same for editing where like you can't figure out the fix or whatever. It's hard.
And I'll add too that, and I know Brayden agrees with this because, you know, I've talked about it before. Like saying goodbye to something, like it's both like best thing ever, but also like, oh, I'm sending my kid away. Like if I like upload a trailer to YouTube, I'm like, oh man, I spent so long on this and like I was so happy doing it. And now like that's just gone forever. And for somebody to like critique like the 2-minute thing, but they don't know that it took the amount of time it took. And I honor critique, but I'm just saying that like saying goodbye is like such a hard thing. I mean, it really feels like when you love it so much, it really does feel like it's your child going away somewhere and you're saying goodbye to it and you just have to be okay with that because it'll live on its own. Like it's out of our control now.
Ethan, I completely understand that. Yeah. It speaks so much to the fact that like you and me too, like are so obsessed with the process of it. And it's like, it almost is like not about the thing you're making. It's about the thing you're doing. And I think that's why we're able to continue to do it. Cause we love the doing of it. And then when it's time for release, it's like, oh yeah, this is for people to watch. I forgot.
The process actually has to end.
Yeah. It actually has it's going somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. And I'm definitely, fully in agreement with you. I'm the kind of dad, like if my sons move out or go to college, you know, when they're not in this house, I will weep. I will weep. Yeah. And knowing it's that hard. It's the best thing for them. But yeah, 100%. Okay, so just a couple more questions here. What's next? Projects in the works? I mean, we covered so much. Like, I had a question about advice, but you've already given such amazing advice. I think we know, Ethan, you know, you want to just keep doing what you're doing, and that's amazing. And I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Any future projects in the works, any sort of dream goals kind of thing that you would like to share?
Right now, I'm just like, I have more to share about my feature that I'm somehow still working on. That's sort of where my head's at. It's a big transition period. I think this age, like right where we're at, that like year after college, around that age is such a really strange headspace to be in. So it's like, I'm trying to figure it out, trying to, you know, get meetings on the table and connect with people. And so I don't have anything to share specifically, but like, I have a lot of hope, of hope going forward into 2023.
Very cool.
I'm going to put this out in the ether so it's on the record and so I could reference it when this actually happens. But my pipe dream, and I don't know how this is even going to happen, but I hope I can do it, is that I'd love to direct like cinematic video game trailers, because like that's like a huge part of my foundational like inspiration is for stuff like Assassin's Creed that have like these powerful like created trailers. They exist on their own. They're not like video game footage. They're like their own creations. There's a big old truck behind me. That's just like a huge, that's what I want to do. We'll see if that ever happens, but I can reference this if it ever does.
There you go.
Put it out there.
Please. Okay. So this has been an amazing conversation. I'm so glad that we had a chance to connect. I could talk to you guys for days.
I know, I was going to say.
But, in keeping the show listenable and the right length, I'd love for you to leave our listeners with some recommendations of maybe films on your playlist or radar right now that you've watched recently or that you just love. It can be anything. It can be, Ethan, feel free to share a couple of your favorite trailers or maybe some music you're listening to right now. Anything at all that will just sort of help solidify your foundation for our listeners. And this is secretly a selfish thing I do at the end of each show so that I can get great ideas for things I may not have seen or checked out.
I think, I think people should like be seeing as many movies that come out as possible. Obviously that sounds like it's just a strange piece of advice, like a basic piece of advice, but it's so true. Like, keep up with the industry and you'll be so wowed by what you see. Like, I think Everything Everywhere All at Once is like the definitive film for that right now. It was made by, the VFX on the film were made by 7 people who learned from YouTube. And, the writers are, it's only their second feature film, but they're coming at film from such a new way. And I think the more you just go to the theater, like, I've been to the movie theaters the last 4 days in a row, and it gets to that point always in January when there's so much coming out and so much that I've missed from the Oscar season. But that's like the one that I'm like, go see what they did. They edited in Premiere Pro. The music's incredible by one of Ethan's favorite bands. Just to see that and see how much money it's made is super inspiring as young filmmakers.
Great.
I would say, and I'll tailor mine to like any like prospecting trailer editors who might be listening, because there might be some.
Oh, there definitely are. You'd be surprised. Well, you wouldn't be cool. Because you're one of them.
So. Yeah. that's awesome. I would say like a great like thing, and what I did when I started like actually acting on my desire to edit trailers is like take a movie by legal means and get obtain a file. and just dilute it into like 2 minutes. Like that's what trailers are. There's little summaries. But then like add your own spin to it and like your own voice to it. But just try to like even like write out like a summary of the movie in a paragraph and then edit a trailer in like just using those sentences. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It totally does.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, you're hired, by the way. You're definitely doing our 2023 festival trailer. I hope I can afford you now that you're big time.
Thank you. But just edit.
He's worth it.
At the end, just like edit. Just like try something. Go crazy. throw it on YouTube if you want to, or just have a private link, but just like finish what you start. And I don't know, just experiment, get weird. That's right in I's like ending motto. It's just like experiment, get weird, push yourself.
And show people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And do your layups so that when you're in the big game, you can make that shot, right?
That's so true. Got
the way it works. Well, I want to thank you so much, Brayden and Ethan, for an insightful glimpse into your experiences and motivations as storytellers and editors. I encourage all of you to check out The World Within Vincent and the other links that are going to be in the description. And of course, thanks to all of you for tuning in and joining us. I remind you that this is just one of many in-depth conversations with the future of film. You can go to hsfilmfest.com for more information on the All-American High School Film Festival. And please, please, please be sure to subscribe and share across all platforms to support our important community of artists. Thank you again, Brayden and Ethan. Everyone, we will see you next time.
Thank you.
Go make movies.